Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. We started on Monday a message, Overcoming Fear with Faith, and we were using an example found in the Gospels of a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And first of all, we see the importance of faith. She had obviously heard about Jesus, and she said in her heart, within herself, she might even said it softly, verbally, but she said she had seen him and she was amazed and she thought, all the doctors haven't helped me, but if I can get to him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be made whole. And so we see, as I brought the broadcast to a close, I was sharing scriptural examples that action is always required on the part of an individual. Remember, that's what the word said, James, if you don't have works, then your faith is dead. He said, how can you show me your faith without your works? It's important. When we have faith, even we feel we may have a very small amount of faith, insignificant amount of faith, and of course the devil's going to really work on you in that area. I just don't have the faith. Well, beloved, God gave you faith. He planted that germ of faith so you'd be saved. And he is the author. He is the completer. He is the finisher of it. You just have to be willing and obedient. You have to say, to hunger after that, and God will do that. And begin to pray, believe for specific things, and you'll see God answers your prayers. There's nothing more faith-building than see answers to prayers in your life or on behalf of others. So let's go on. Let's go back to the woman who was convinced that if she could get to Jesus and touch him, she'd be healed. So her faith, her confession required action. Now, she could have allowed the enemy to discourage her. There were so many people around him. She had to be somewhat aggressive in terms of making her way to be close to Jesus. She had to make a decision. Beloved, can you relate to that? There are times in your life that you're at a decision point. It might be just a simple action in your day-to-day activities, but should you do it? Should you press forward to see it happen, to accomplish it? Or do you draw back and say, well, I can't do that, or I shouldn't do it? Well, if it's a shouldn't, we're not talking moral issues here, but we're talking something that God would have you to do. So a decision was required, and she said, I'm going to do it. You know, she could have been discouraged by the throng and the press of the cares that she had, earthly cares, for an excuse for not seeking personal contact with the Savior. And she could have just said, well, maybe I'll just wait for another time. But beloved, so often for us, a more convenient time never comes. There is the timing of God. There are seasons of God. And when God gives us an opportunity, when it's in the Spirit, we need to respond. The Word of God says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Those are strong words, but it's talking about that kind of aggressive faith that believes God and is not going to be denied. So if she would have waited till the throng and the press of the multitudes had passed, if they were gone, well, she would have waited till Jesus, her Savior and Healer, had passed beyond her reach. All right. Now, it's interesting. One of the Gospels says that she went behind him and she touched the hem of his garment. Why is that important? Well, again, it's the importance of the Word of God. There's treasures we have not yet discovered, beloved. How was Jesus dressed? Well, he was wearing the dress of that day. His outer garment included that was put on first, and it was, of course, nearest his body. And then there was the coat or tunic without seam. Remember, the guards gambled for it while Jesus was on the cross. It was woven from the top throughout. And then over that, there was the garment or cloak. It was a loosely flowing garment after the manner of the dress of the East. And this had a border or a fringe. And it was probably of bright blue mingled with white. And there was a special holiness that was attached to the fringes by Levitical law. They were attached to the outer garment which the rabbi wore. The garment was draped over the back so that the tassel of one of the corners were hanging between the shoulder blades. And so this woman had an absolute conviction, knowing that if she could just touch him, the tassels, that there was she believed she would be healed, the power of God would be there. And she had conviction, a strong persuasion or belief, a certainty that there would be, this was her chance. This was, her hope was stirred. And that hope stirred because she was so discouraged by all the efforts she had made that if she could touch his garment, if she knew the word enough, the Torah, the law, that there was an importance to this. And so that was what she was seeking. In Numbers 5:37, the word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations," not just to the Israelites in the wilderness, "and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember," that's a reminder, beloved, "and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." So that was a reminder. That blue thread was a sign that the person was obedient to the word of God and dedicated by following it. And so when that woman reached through the throng and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus's garment, she was touching the living word of God. Now, we're at the point, what does Jesus do? This is really interesting, the actions of Jesus. He immediately said, now he was, remember, he was on a mission. He was going to Jairus' house, the ruler of the synagogue. The young daughter was near death. She was very, very sick. The ruler had beseeched him, "Jesus, please come that she doesn't die." And so he headed on his way. Crowds were following him. But he was not aware that there was someone, he knew someone touched him, but he didn't know who. That's why he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, they were moving probably at a relatively rapid pace through the throng of people. And so the disciples, as I shared in those passages that I had shared earlier, they thought, "What's wrong with Jesus? We're in a crowd and everyone's touching him." But Jesus said to himself, he knew, he was very aware and sensitive that healing virtue had gone out of him. He said, "Virtue has gone out of me." That's a quote. And virtue here means miracle working power. And the Greek word for it is dunamis. And note from this account that we've been sharing, this took place, this is extremely interesting, without any conscious volition or effort on the part of Jesus. It wasn't a choice of his will. It just happened. And in Luke 5:17, it was reported that the power of the Lord was with Jesus, for him to perform healing. And in Luke 6:19, it speaks of the power of the Lord that came from Jesus and healed them all. The power of the Lord was present to heal. And so these passages point up the truth that Jesus healed and expelled demons by the power of God or the Spirit of God. And the very amazing thing is Jesus has commissioned us to do the same works that he has called us to do. And as I've said, if you don't believe that, well, that's your prerogative. And just, you know, just blot out those pages in the Bible that talk about when Jesus said that. The thing is, the works that I do, so shall ye also do. because we have faith and he's commissioned us. That's what he, remember when he started his ministry, he called his disciples. Then what did he do? He sent them into towns and villages. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead. He was giving them power and they came back just rejoicing. And they said, even the devils are subject to your name. And he said, rejoice not that they're subject to you, but that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. And so this was this word for virtue is dunamis, working power. But we can do as Jesus did. What did she do? She had spoken the word in faith. And in speaking the word, beloved, this is important you grasp this. In speaking God's eternal word, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word will never pass away. So am I correct in saying his eternal word? I think so. We release the dunamis power of God. And why don't we see more spirit-filled Christians moving in God's miracle-working power? Why, beloved? Because it takes the word to release that power. And remember, Jesus is the living word of God. There's a written word of God, but he is the word of God. Though John said in the gospel, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's not talking about a Bible. He's talking about the living Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown from me, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. And tomorrow, I'm going to make time as I begin the broadcast, because I don't know if I'll complete this message tomorrow, that God will stir our faith, that he'll increase our faith. The disciples asked that. So we can see the power of God activated through the word of God in our lives. Nothing shall be impossible. If you will believe that, I mean, that's what the word of God says. Now, either you believe it or you can reject it. But I believe what Jesus said is true. And I'm going to follow him. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Remember that old song we used to sing, the choruses in the 70s. Praise God. Well, beloved, it's been a joy to minister to you. And I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on in this message, Overcoming Fear with Faith. And as always, I do invite you, this is a ministry of prayer and correspondence, that if you choose to email, that's fine. I will pray. I'll confirm receipt of your email. But if you would like a personal answer, I'm not able to spend much time on emails. I invite you to share your mailing address and I'll respond back personally to you. The announcer will give that contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.